Hello and welcome to The Bulletin with UBS on Monocle Radio. Each week, the sharpest minds and freshest thinkers in finance take you beyond the numbers and hype, right to the heart of the big issues of the day. This week, we're shining a spotlight on women's wealth, and in particular, exploring how to better unlock investment potential for female founders, and considering what the role of women can and should be within the unprecedented global wealth transfer that's currently taking place. We're once again in the fortunate position to have with us Emma Wheeler, head of the Women's Wealth Programme at UBS Global Wealth Management. Emma was involved in several panel discussions in the Equality Lounge in Davos at the recent World Economic Forum annual meeting, unpacking some of these topics. She'll explain to us some of the stark facts about venture capital funding for the cohort. Those stats are pretty damning. Only 2% of VenCap funding goes to women-led companies globally. And this, despite female founders generating 2.5 times more revenue per dollar invested. The entrepreneurial ecosystem then ripe for transformation, yet systemic barriers continue to limit female founders' access to capital. We'll consider how the situation and the discourse is developing and ask what needs to happen to drive the pace of change. Also in focus, the role of women within the great wealth transfer. Emma will tell us about women in family offices who are at the forefront of positively disrupting the face of investing by applying their gender lens. Let's hear from her now. Emma Wheeler, welcome back to the show. Great to hear from you as ever. Now, we're talking about, well, plenty of the themes I've just mentioned that you were discussing up in the High Alps, of course, recently. Let's start by looking at investment in, or perhaps better put, underinvestment in female-founded businesses. This is certainly an area of critical importance to address.
I mean, it's a big issue. And, you know, we started looking at it in 2021. We published a paper called The Funding Gap with our CIO. And, you know, that really allowed us to mainstream the whole topic. There is no sense to it, but there is a significant amount of systemic barriers, if you like, within the ecosystem. And they're taking time to be broken down. So there are many brilliant female entrepreneurs, of course, out there. And it's not a funding gap, it's a funding chasm. And it does make economic sense. I mean, clearly, we know now that if female entrepreneurs were invested in equally to male entrepreneurs, we'd add 3-6% to global GDP. So this really is an economic issue that we need to try to sort.
And in terms of the state of the broader discourse, then, are there some crumbs of comfort, Emma, in terms of the willingness, the appetite to engage with the conversation around how we better collectively break down the barriers that are still there? Do you feel the narrative is gaining, I don't know, potency or buy-in or whatever you want to call it? Did you find that there was a reassuring engagement with the topic?
Yeah, there's lots of engagement, but it's just not changing quickly enough. Actually, the 2% figure of VC capital that goes globally to women-led companies, that actually went down last year. So we seem to be making a lot of noise, but those barriers are still not being broken down in meaningful ways that it's actually, you know, impacting that flow of capital. So we need to work harder. And there are many VCs now that we're working with as part of our own UBS Female Founders Program, our Global Accelerator Program and Awards Program. And they're very actively engaged, and we are bringing these female founders on, giving them profile, giving them investor readiness training, mentoring them, bringing them into our networks. And so there's definite work happening to break this down. But yeah, it's taking a while.
Yeah, just taking too long. And I guess this is one of the great things about being part of an institution like UBS that has such scale, is that it can move the needle right with real alacrity. Can you talk to us a little bit about specific areas then of investment focus and how those initiatives that you've mentioned there actually sort of manifest the nuts and bolts? And I guess crucially, how they can help to drive scalable fixes to the problems?
Yes. So we have, as I mentioned, this accelerator program. It's called Project Female Founder. And we work with our advisors, our client advisors around the world, and they bring in early stage entrepreneurs, female entrepreneurs, into a program that lasts for a year. and we give investor readiness training, we make introductions to VCs, we do pitch practice, and they are very involved then in the UBS networks. We find opportunities to collaborate with them within our business. And we've seen significant growth amongst those founders. And, you know, we are making meaningful introductions to investors for them. And, you know, there are changes happening that are positive. We can see, you know, in the UK, the new government-backed Invest in Women fund that's being set up, that 250 million. And we're seeing a large proportion too of what I call gender lens funds. We had an amazing lady on one of our panels in Davos in the Equality Lounge talking about her Fusion fund in the US in Silicon Valley, when she invests in early stage female entrepreneurs in tech. And this is something that I hear across the world now. So these funds, yeah, are increasingly being set up. So there are opportunities. There are organizations like us really creating programs to support female entrepreneurs. And yeah, it's good that we can really mainstream the topic and demonstrate best practice around this.
Can I just ask you another thing, Emma, which I think is really interesting? If we look at these sort of large secular changes that are happening, often on this show we talk about this unprecedented intergenerational wealth transfer that we're sort of in the midst of. But of course, there's also an intergender wealth transfer. There's a changing face of wealth, especially ultra high net worth, and it's increasingly female, which is obviously something potentially profoundly positive. As that situation changes and as various other economic drivers change and evolve, do you think that that can, I don't know, add weight, add additional urgency, and maybe add, I don't know, more potency, more levers to operate if we're talking about the need for change and the need for change at scale?
Yes, definitely. I mean, we've never been in this situation in our lifetimes or indeed ever where women have owned and controlled such significant wealth. So 35% of total private investable wealth is now in women's hands. And we are also seeing, as you mentioned, this great wealth transfer, this demographic shift between the baby boomers and the Gen Z. And women are likely to inherit a significant proportion of that. And in some regions, I've seen that could be as much as 70% over the next two generations. So the industry, you know, really needs to prepare for this. And as you say, it's an intra-generational wealth transfer. It's worth totally 84.5 trillion. And we've estimated that 9 trillion of that will flow from the husband to the wife. So this horizontal wealth transfer. And that's because women on average live 4 to 5 years longer than their husbands. And they're likely to hold that wealth before transferring it to the next generation, to the children, for approximately 4 years. So the wealth management industry really needs to gear up and take note of this significant shift. But of course, it's a wonderful opportunity.
It surely is. And let's hope we start to see the fruits of that broader background being brought to bear in terms of the investment picture, especially with female founders. And as you said, those scandalous VC numbers. If I were to grant you, Emma, what a delight this would be, the potential, the possibility to sort of wave a magic wand and change, I don't know, one specific area of focus really profoundly, what would that be? Is it about the urgency? Is it about collaboration? Is it about a group of stakeholders who are worryingly diffident about getting involved? What would be, if you could sort of move the needle on one thing specifically, can I ask you what that might be?
I think it's around, you know, getting more women to invest. And that's the focus of what I do at UBS. And, you know, women are still not investing at the same rate as men, but there's a huge opportunity to encourage them to do so. And what we see in the family office world, for example, are women coming in either as investment professionals or as family members and bringing their gender lens to that. And they are wanting to positively disrupt by bringing an impact lens to the way that they're investing. And so I think the ecosystem really needs to embrace that opportunity and, you know, ensure that these women in family offices and more broadly, you know, have the opportunity to learn from each other, to be convened, and, you know, that we continue to create the right kind of solutions that speak to their investment preferences.
Yeah, I find that so interesting. Can you talk to us a little bit more about why, well, I guess in the context both of that, this great wealth transfer, but you mentioned family offices, and the role of those for the female investor of today and tomorrow, particularly those who are helming large, ultra high worth positions in particular. Talk to us a bit more about the significance of that and the role that you imagine women can and should be playing as that situation develops.
Yeah, I mean, from an investment perspective, and, you know, of course, family offices are a big focus for us at UBS. And, you know, that whole world is growing significantly. I've seen a data point that, you know, 5.4 trillion will be in the family office network within by 2030. So, you know, this is huge mobilization of private wealth in this space. And I think the opportunity really is for these, from an investment perspective, is for these offices to really embrace, you know, mixed gender investment teams. You know, we can see the results around higher returns when we have mixed gender teams, and also embracing, you know, the values that these families hold dear to themselves. And definitely, you know, that's important to the women, to the next generation. There's an opportunity for these families to really, you know, do good. So combining that kind of philanthropic approach with actually doing well, because they're investing in companies that are now really building sustainable either products or services, or building sustainability into what they do. So yeah, a huge opportunity here. And I think this whole kind of approach is being redefined.
Yeah, and that point about the younger generation, I think, is particularly interesting. Can you just interrogate that for us a little bit, Emma, in terms of the difference that makes their engagement with whether it's how they are allocating resource and ambition, you know, in a family office setting? And also, is that new generation, I don't know, does it matter whether it's female, male? Is there just a different appetite to engage with these themes in a much more ambitious way? I find that change interesting. It must be really compelling for you and your colleagues to be part of those conversations.
Yes, I mean, I think that the next generation are so tech savvy. They also have a much broader global perspective now than they have done in the past. And I think that's very exciting, and particularly exciting for a global business, because, you know, we really can support them and their ambitions. And yeah, I think, you know, the ones that I speak to are very mindful. You know, I heard a great quote. There's from one in Davos that, you know, we are what we invest in, and there's an impact of doing nothing. So yeah, I think this is the way that they're thinking, and they can see the opportunity. And, you know, a lot of excitement around funds like, exactly like the Fusion Fund, early stage investment opportunities in tech, you know, but making really conscious and impactful, you know, decisions and approaches around those investments.
Well, you mentioned the I word there, impactful. And if we talk about this desire to create a positive impact, if we just zoom out even further, Emma, I wonder, are there some kernels of comfort here that, in fact, the desire to sort of point particularly extensive wealth, to point it in a direction that is focused on making a genuinely positive impact in all the different ways that can manifest itself, is that spreading beyond now the disruptive gender lens investing? Is it spreading beyond people who want to talk about S&I? Is it actually beginning to permeate so that, I don't know, we're getting closer to the day when basically all investing will have that intentionality? Or is that still something of a pipe dream? Are we getting there little by little?
I think there's definitely a convergence around wanting good commercial returns and, you know, wanting to create an impact. Definitely, that's happening. And, you know, we can see that in many portfolios, we're not sacrificing returns for the sake of investing this way. And, you know, that's a very clear message that we've seen at UBS.
And Emma, just before we let you go, one last thought. If people are hearing this, I often ask this actually, I probably might have asked you before when we've spoken on this programme, if people hear this and think, God, that really strikes a chord with me, what does that investor do? I guess pick up the phone, right, and get in touch with you and your team. But just slightly more broadly, is it one of these narratives where you have to acknowledge that even if these problems sound of intractable scale, and you mentioned, you know, the 2% number tracking down even year on year, so depressing, is the important thing to engage and be like, I'm going to do something, even if it only makes a small impact? What should people do if they're moved and motivated to try and be proactive and actually go and do something as a result of hearing this kind of discussion?
yes, just talk to your friends, talk to networks. You know, we have an amazing resource on our website, you know, around sustainability and social impact. So learn, you know, now is the time. And particularly for the women, as I said, you know, this is our time. We need to mobilize our capital that we're increasingly owning and controlling to do good in the world.
Emma Wheeler, head of the Women's Wealth Programme at UBS Global Wealth Management, bringing us to the end of this edition of the show here on Monocle Radio. You can listen again and find out more and subscribe to our magazine at monocle.com. And you can find out how UBS can help you at ubs.com. While you're there, head to ubs.com/women-invest. There you'll find more resources and perhaps understand why UBS was commended in the most recent Best Private Bank for Wealthy Women category at the PWM The Banker Global Private Banking Awards. And do listen out. We'll have more on gender lens investing on this programme in a couple of weeks' time. This is The Bulletin with UBS on Monocle Radio. I'm Tom Edwards. Thanks for listening.